This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We got some football TV ratings to discuss. We'll do that at 5:45. Get you a Nats lineup before we get out of here in the 6 o'clock hour. I got a Capitals conversation on deck for it, but want to squeeze in Chad in Richmond, who was kind enough to call us at 800-636-1067 to type our conversation we just had, Tobes. Grant and Danny on the fan, Toby in for GP. Breakout and potential disappointing candidates as Local 53 gets underway with their OTAs. But Chad wanted to weigh in. Chad, what's up, buddy? You're on the fan.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Appreciate you, man.
I had a question about the last
hit that hooray! Hit that hooray! Hit that hooray!
Jim Zorn in there. You've got to give space for Zorn. Go ahead now, Chad. You're up.
Wanted to ask a question, and I'll let you guys go, about the Lattimore thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious. I love the front office. I love what they've done and what they're doing. Keep it up. But what does it make a lot of sense to trade for a player, what we gave away that was already hurt? Was it just for the name, or was he on the back end of this injury, or what do you guys think?
Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. Tobes, you go first.
I mean, it was one of the red flags when they traded for him, right? A guy that's seemingly dealt with hamstring injuries throughout his career and was out with a hamstring injury. So it was a risk that they felt like they were willing to take. Maybe, you know, they obviously, once you finish a trade, you have a physical and you go through all that stuff. So the doctors had evaluated him and felt like he was going to be able to get back out there. I think if you asked them, Danny, they expected him to get out on the field earlier than he did. And frankly, I think they expected him obviously to be better than he was. But that's a risk you take. I think that's a valid criticism, though. You trade for a guy with an injury history that was injured when you traded for him. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a gamble that they took. I don't know that it's paid off.
I think that's the answer, is that it's a gamble. And it's one that I would have made. I said so at the time. Here's what I think we forget about. Remember, Emmanuel Forbes was on the roster for 6 weeks until they finally said, we just can't do this anymore. We can't. No, thank you. The guy they drafted to be a slot corner was one of their boundary corners, and they were rotating between Benjamin St. Juste and Michael Davis and Michael St. Juste and Benjamin Davis, and none of it mattered. They were all bad, and they were all holding. They couldn't stop anybody. Noah Igbinoghene, I thought, was fine as a boundary corner at times, but that's not the plan. Their secondary, most specifically their corners, I think were a disaster. And in November, there aren't many reinforcements available. Right, that's more of an offseason thing. That's more of a draft thing. That's more of a free agency and trying to build thing. At that stage, you are desperate because you're better than maybe anybody thought you could be. You thought you'd be good. You thought you'd be better, improved from a year before when you were a disaster picking second for a reason. But here you are. You find yourself in this fight. You find yourself with a chance to do something special the organization hasn't done in decades. So they turned to an available option that had, at times, played really well, that exhibited some of the things they were hoping to find at the cornerback spot, whether it's toughness, physicality, ability to play a little press, to be able to mix and match some coverages, that they lacked, quite frankly. They knew, and I really believe this, I've beat this drum, and I firmly believe I'm right, and nobody else seems to think the way that I do, and that's totally fine. I think they weren't a good run defense. I'm not saying they were. I think they were made that much worse because they knew how truly bad this group was.
Sure.
And we can't leave them alone for a microsecond. So they didn't. And this was an attempt to fix that, to be able to play some of the better opponents on their schedule they're going to have to play in the postseason, an attempt to try to fix it. I think it's a swing and miss. I think that's how it's going to end up going.
Yeah, I mean, to the college point, though, too, this is also why he was more affordable. Because if you're going to trade for a corner like this, one, corners that are of that caliber really aren't available, especially at the trade deadline. They're not available in season. And if you're going to trade for a guy like a Marshon Lattimore, you're going to have to give up more than what they gave up, you know, unless he was disgruntled like a Jalen Ramsey, which we talked about earlier. So it's a give and a take. You swing sometimes for a guy that's injured. You get a little bit better of a deal, But you also can't be shocked when a guy who's been injured and was injured when you traded for him is still injured and hasn't been the same guy that he was when he was an all-pro.
Let's go to Ike in Arlington, also wants to weigh in on Lattimore. Ike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good
Big
pal.
Time listener, first time caller.
Oh, the first timers are coming out of the woodwork on Marshawn Lattimore. Jim Zorn is just sitting there hoping that it's a first time caller so he can weigh in. What's up, buddy?
That's right. Well, I don't hate the Marshawn Lattimore move from last year's perspective. Going into this year, mindset's a little bit changed, but at the same time, Adam Peters was new in town. We had a growth in our team that we'd never seen before, at least in my lifetime. 98 born. So I like the aggressive move, and I think we're counting him out too quick. I know he's not at OTAs, but I want to stay optimistic and hope that him and Stan Shrill and that defensive unit can put it together this year. Keep my faith up on him.
Appreciate you, Ike. Thank you, dude. So I agree with all the first part. I've obviously shared my skepticism here about his season, but I'm with you. I want to be very clear. I don't like when somebody has an opinion, calling balls and strikes, and then pretends that's how they thought all along.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I was so in favor of the trade. I said, yes, I'm excited about this. Because, again, of my view that their secondary was terrible, I wanted Lattimore. I approved of the move. I would trade a third, fourth, and a sixth every time for the potential to dramatically improve that cornerback spot. Yes, where do I sign up? It didn't work, I don't think. And I don't believe it's going to work. That doesn't mean I'm criticizing the move, right? This is one of those where, on the balance sheet, it still looks real good. Brandon Peters and Lance Newmark and company. It's very positive, right? You don't have to look too far. You don't have to start searching for reasons, right? You don't have to find, maybe they're hidden expected points. Nope, 12-5 NFC title game. Yes to them. And yes again, right? I think this one didn't work. I get why they tried it. I probably would have tried the same thing.
Yeah, I don't blame them for trying. I wasn't the biggest fan of the move when they made it. I haven't been the biggest fan of Lattimore, obviously, with how he was here, like, proven a little bit right there. But I wasn't necessarily the biggest fan of the trade, but I don't blame them. Like, I liked the value that they got. Part of the reason, too, that I liked the value was I wasn't assuming he was going to be as bad as he was, Danny, but he was also under contract for this year and next. So you could have gotten a corner who could potentially be your number one, and not just number one for a rental, but number one for 2.5 years. And who knows, maybe it's not even going to be more than a half a year. But I don't mind them swinging and missing and trying there. It was a little bit of a risk, but sometimes you have to take those risks and see what happens. And they took the risk, and right now it doesn't look so good.
It hasn't worked yet. Maybe it will. And I hope it does, by the way. They're much better. This offseason will look a lot different if they're right. If he's good, that changes a lot of stuff. There's
two guys.
Yeah, it
changes their entire defense.
Yeah, there are two guys, Kinlaw and him. If they're right, this front office is right, that's a game changer. All of a sudden, the defense where I'm going, I don't think it's better on paper than it was at this point last year or at the end of last season, is, I don't want to say it's good, but it's viable. It's good enough to go with their playoff offense. They have an NFC Championship offense. I don't know if they have an NFC Championship defense right now. I don't think they do.
No.
Right? But if they're, what do you want to call it, league average or fine or solid, I think that's plenty good enough. Opportunistic. That's really what Dan Quinn's defenses have been, not non-Legion of Boom time, is you may get some yards. You may get them a couple times, but they're going to turn you over. They're going to harass you. And to me, that's what I want for this offense, right? I want more opportunity for this offense to get some plays and some game-changing stuff. I think only a handful of defenses nowadays, given the rules, can not only stop you down in, down out, but then also dictate to what you can do, can and can't do, and then turn you over a bunch. I don't know that defense is out there. You're chasing a white whale. The emphasis should be on offense, and let's try to be as good as we can on defense.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, when you think back to those Seattle defenses with Dan Quinn and Legion of Boom, they were built from the back to the front. Generally, we talk about being built in the trenches and then having secondary afterwards, but they kind of built from the back to the front by having Sherman and Browner and Chancellor and Earl Thomas, right? And then they had, Michael Bennett was a solid pass rusher, but they didn't have as many guys up front. I think you saw by the way that they went about this that they're trying to do that again, where you have more guys on the back end so that I know I have solid coverage. I'll manufacture that pass rush.
So people are now calling about Lattimore. I'll allow that. 800-636-1067. Seriously, totally fine. I'm not bullish. I don't think it's going to work. How do you feel about that? Pretty simple, right? Let's call balls and strikes. Again, I want to be very clear. I was in favor of the move. I have no problem with them trying to do something pretty special right there because of the opportunity where they were. Elijah, DC, your thoughts.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Like you said, you have to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and realize what you think you're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about Washington is they were aggressive enough. And because I was telling Mayman on a hold, you have to think they beat out Kansas City and other teams. Even if he didn't and he doesn't pan out, I respect the work that went in to get this player. And if this is an inkling, I know the performance may not have matched up. But if you're talking about future investments and future decisions in the moment when it's like you could talk about all what you need, all you want over the off season, but it's a very rare the few teams that are able to make moves in season to give them a better chance and a better position. And I love a general manager who says, my responsibility is to do everything I can from a week-to-week basis to put these guys in the best position to succeed. And if he said, this is what the best we have, we got it now coming into this year. We don't have to worry about some of the other corners. I don't want to bash those guys. So saying their names is irrelevant right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're NFL players that did what they were supposed to do to their degree, whatever they could do. But you see that they realize this line of scrimmage goes all the way to the boundaries, all the way to the sideline. So if you don't have cornerbacks who are working in tandem with your defensive line, it's going to be problematic. Marshawn Lattimore, he's a good veteran to have presence. If you want to know how to be an NFL player, looks and different things that you're going to have to prepare for, he's a good fit for just when Amos is coming in, undrafted guy. There's so many guys. I think of this like if you want to get better at football or if you want to be a part of an organization that's going to push you to the max, it doesn't matter if you're in this uniform or not. If you come to Washington, you're going to have an opportunity to grow as an individual and as a player.
And that's the hope. Elijah, thanks for the call, buddy. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Vinny in Sea Pleasant. Vinny, your thoughts on the Lattimore deal?
Man. So what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, last season, yeah, I think it was a disappointment. But can we please get a chance to wipe that away? I'm pretty optimistic about this season coming up. I think Marshawn Hamstring will be a lot better. But considering the fact that his presence, you know, being a physical specimen out on the field, you know, it's a threat to other receivers and other teams. Well, I don't remember one game last season. I don't even think they threw the ball to his side. You know, so
Saints game,
I'm
yeah.
looking at it as, I'm looking at it as an optimistic type thing. And I think, you know, this year we should just go ahead and, you know, plug him in and try to see what we can do.
Vinny, love it. Appreciate the phone call. So let me just say this real quick, Toes, and I'll tag you in. 9 games played 2024. 10 games played 2023, 7 games played 2022. That doesn't make anybody nervous? That doesn't make it, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I of course I'm going to give him a chance. I mean, now, when you have to make an early call as a front office person, there's a reason I'm not a front office person. I'm barely qualified to do this, let alone make decisions for a franchise. But when I was calling balls and strikes in the offseason, I'm going, you know what? I don't believe it. I would have cut bait and used that $16 million in savings that I would have gotten in the salary cap to go get a marquee corner. They didn't. They did the Vinny plan. I got no problem with the Vinny plan. It's well thought out. What it means is we're not in any rush. Let's go get a couple reinforcements. No stars. But if he plays well for us, what a great value. But I'm scared of the recurring injury thing. I'm scared of how bad it went. And I would have probably cut bait earlier.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason that he's even being talked about right now, Danny, is the fact that he's not at OTAs. Like, if we did our normal topic where we're talking about, like we did earlier, where we're talking about who's a breakout, who's a disappointment, maybe we bring up Marshawn Lattimore. But he's not helping his case by not showing up for OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's voluntary. I get all that stuff. I understand that. And really, him being there isn't going to affect whether he plays well or not this season. Probably not. Not a big-time factor. But if he could at least show up for that after a very bad season for this team, I think we're not having this sort of discussion today. I think a lot of people are down, and your opinion is already poor, and then you give more of a reason for people to dislike you. So that's kind of why we're at where we're at. I appreciate the optimism from Vinny, but I don't think many people are on that side.
Dave and Raleigh, what's up, man? Talking Lattimore.
Hey, guys. I agree with your guys' sentiment. I agree they should have gotten a quarterback last year. I just don't know why they got this guy that's injury prone. And I agree. I thought he had a bad year. But, Danny, I don't understand. If I recall correctly, you were big on the fact that you thought that one of their biggest needs, in fact, their biggest need was defensive end. I always thought it was cornerback. So I don't, if I'm wrong on that, I apologize. But if you think that Lattimore is going to be a bust, as do I, why do you think that the defensive end was their biggest area of need?
I appreciate you, dude. Thank you. So it was on my list. Certainly. I looking at corner. Now, they went and got Jonathan Jones. They have Sammer still returning. I think Noah Igbinoghene is going to be back. And they drafted Trey Amos, right? So there are cornerbacks there that they went and addressed. Now, I don't know how many of them are marquee or stars or ones or alphas or whatever. Time will certainly tell. But to me, there was a glaring hole at pass rusher, at defensive end. That was a weakness last year, and it certainly didn't get any better where there's a net negative, a net loss this offseason when you lose Dante Fowler. I think they found lightning in a bottle with Fowler. Totally fine not winning a bidding war for him. So I think that's my answer. But if we're looking at top positions of need and want for me, quarterback was 100% on there.
Yeah, I think it had to be. But, I mean, if you thought Lattimore could come back and help, then maybe not. But there was no premier guy. Like, if you asked how many guys do you trust at edge rusher, I think Dorrance Armstrong's fine. Really, he's fine. He's not great. Mm-hmm. He's not exceptional. I think there were guys, at least one guy, in Mikey Sanders still that I think you think is a plus. So that's why, I mean, it was glaring. You didn't have much of a pass rush. Your guy that had double-digit sacks last year was gone. So I think, look, both positions were places where they needed someone. I think they've addressed both slightly. You know, defensive end, I don't think they did a ton. They brought in guys that can help out the run, hopefully. But it's not like they brought in a big-time pass rusher, but they addressed corner. So I'm interested to see how Amos does. And if Lattimore, again, we're down on Lattimore, but he could be the difference in this defense going from being
right,
an average defense if everything hits to, wow, they're actually pretty good.
Charlie in Silver Spring, last word on this. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. What Toby just said was very key. I think Marshawn still has a chance to be fantastic for the Commanders. 2024 was an injured season. To hear phrases like cut bait or it was a bad move, I think that's kind of silly. And one thing I'd like to add about the league is the rules are not in favor of cornerbacks. You're not going to have true shutdown corners anymore. It's just Sauce Gardner's not a shutdown. Jalen Ramsey was not a shutdown. The last shutdown corner was Darrell Revis. Marshawn was never a shutdown. He was strong, he was nasty, and he can be that again, but he was never a shutdown corner, which is what we were calling him when we traded for him. Everyone was so excited because, you know, we thought we had a shutdown. One more thing, I don't think we win that New Orleans game without Marshawn Lattimore because that day he shut somebody down.
Charlie, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. I don't think he was targeted in that game, if memory serves.
Definitely.
So that was deference to him from New Orleans, who knows him very well. So to Charlie's point, I totally hear you, but we're all talking on the relative scale, right? In other words, like 5-6 years ago, everybody threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. Now the league leader cracks 40 barely, right? And now to get 30 is a huge deal. So we're all talking the scale. The scale moves at the same time. You're 100% right. There's no Deion Sanders or, I don't know, you could pick your shutdown corner over time. You're 100% right. But still, within that framework, just because there's no shutdown corners doesn't mean Benjamin St. Juice is good.
Correct.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I understand your point, Charlie. Maybe the expectations were out of whack. You can't tell me that he was a net plus last year. Now, if the point is give him a chance to be a net plus this year, very reasonable
sure.
thing to me.
Well, and the other issue that I have with the call there is he said, well, you can dismiss a little bit of last year because it was an injured season. You just laid out. His last however many years have been injured seasons.
Three straight.
That's the problem with Lattimore, and that's part of the reason why there was a red flag put on when you traded for him, is he's someone that is very injury-prone, and he was injured last season. So you can't dismiss that as, oh, he was injured, when he's constantly injured. If it's something where a guy is playing all the time and he just so happens to miss a game, like we talk about this with Ovi, right, this season when he gets hurt, there's a first extended amount of time he missed all year. He gets the benefit of the doubt on injuries. Lattimore does not.
That's Toby. I'm Danny. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Tobes is in for GP. Good conversation we stumbled into there on Marshawn Lattimore. I appreciate all the phone calls, good feedback. That's kind of the medium. That's the medium in action, right? You're not rigid. You're not stuck doing something. You can do it live. We'll do it live! Caps fans, talking to you next. I got a conversation I think we need to have. That's at 527 on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dude, I love it. I watch it every year. I love it. Every year, you get something. It's a random, strange sports thing that I love. I watch the Women's College Softball World Series every single year. The nastiest pitcher I've ever seen at this college level is this girl, Carlin Pickens from Tennessee, who throws 80.
It makes no sense.
The fastest pitch ever recorded in women's softball history. Filthy. I mean, she is nasty. Oklahoma, who has won 4 straight natties, they're going back and forth, bottom of the last inning, couple runners eke their way on. I didn't see who the hero was, but Rhino called it a 3-run bomb to give Oklahoma the walk-off win of the Women's College World Series. I love it. I watch it every year.
Insane.
I have a great time.
Insane. I got to see a replay of this. I was mid-update watching you lose your mind.
Yeah, because Ryan goes, dude, watch this 3-run bomb. And then she did. Oklahoma won it. That was incredible. It's awesome. Anyway, I watch it. I'm going to go home and watch it. It's my favorite. Welcome back to the show. It's Grant and Danny here on the Fan. So I want to have an uncomfortable conversation with you folks. Here's where I'm at, Caps fans. You want to weigh in? You want to yell at me? That's fine. 800-636-1067. The team that just made you look like a second-class citizen, the team that just beat the brakes off of you over 5 games, a gentleman's sweep, just had the same thing done to them by the Florida Panthers. Florida's going to their 3rd straight Stanley Cup final. Maybe they win it, maybe they don't. I have no idea. You have a great chance to. How should Caps fans feel about that? I'm not talking about how much I hate Carolina. I hate them. I'm glad they lost. Mm-hmm. I'll root for them to lose forever. Fine, no problem. I'm just talking about from the perspective of you couldn't manage much. You couldn't get an offensive draw. You couldn't have any zone time. You couldn't get quality shots or scoring chances. You couldn't score. Your world-class goal scorer was, frankly, not a useful player in that series. And again, it's not an Ovechkin criticism, just what happened. Nobody did anything. You played well against Montreal, deserve credit for that. But this goes in a long list of classic Capitals playoff performances. I offer a couple data points. Within the last 3 years, the Florida Panthers have been to more Stanley Cup finals than the Washington Capitals in their entire existence. Within the last 6 seasons, the Carolina Hurricanes have been to more conference finals than the Capitals have in their entire existence. Within the last 6 seasons, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have been bounced out of the first round, have both won more Stanley Cups and been to more Stanley Cup finals and been to more conference finals than the Caps have, again, in their entire existence. The Vegas Golden Knights are an expansion team with more Stanley Cup finals trips than Washington. They existed the first year. They went and lost to Washington in the Stanley Cup final. I got my championship, Tubbs. Okay, it happened. Now, these teams are at the top of the sport right now. There are others that would trade their situation for ours, sight unseen. Ask Toronto about playoff success. Yeah,
definitely.
So that's not the point. The point I'm trying to make is once every 20 years, a Capitals team defies the odds, gets out of the place that they never get out of, and goes to a championship. They lost in 98, won it in 2018. I'm grateful for that. What they did in 2018 took away the poison for me as a DC fan. I've been sitting here as a guy at the time in my, I think I just turned 40, I was close to 40, who had experienced so much success as a little kid up until I was 12 years old. And then that was taken away. Then it was decades. I'm not a victim. I'm just telling what happened. Like, you guys were there too. For 30 plus years, no team even got to a conference championship game, let alone to a finals, let alone had a real chance of winning anything. It was unprecedented in a city with most of the time three, now four major sports, never having once been a legitimate championship contender. It was astounding. Even joke franchises, even terrible places with one team or two teams or whatever, they got conference championship appearances. Never in Washington. It was absurd. The Caps opened up that valve. All the steam, all the poison came flying out. And now I can just kind of enjoy sports for what it is. I will be forever grateful for them for breaking the ice. They won. Next year, the Nationals win. A baseball team in my hometown won a World Series. I still can't believe that's a thing that happened to me, buddy. But facing facts here, there has been something systemically amiss with this franchise that does a lot of things really well, talking about the Capitals. So this is kind of a two-pronged conversation that I want to have with you folks, and I want you to weigh into. Prong number one, it's hard to get excited about any kind of regular season anything. Now, Ovechkin setting a record. That was exciting. That was awesome. Yeah. Give me that again. When we learned that regular season success has nothing to do, to a degree, with playoff success, how am I supposed to be excited in December when the Caps are a couple games over 500 and you know, have a good power play? How is that supposed to be exciting to me when I know what's around the corner? Hard to separate for me. There is something systemically busted and broken about this franchise that over a 20-year span went to the playoffs 16 times and lost in the first or second round 15 of those times. That's damn near impossible to do, and yet they've done it. A previous group over 20 years actually went to the playoffs more than this Rock the Red era. They went 17 times, lost in the first or second round 15, had one sneaky, weird conference final appearance, but they lost that too. Three times in the history, 50 years, celebrating 50 years this year, Tobes, this Capitals organization has gone to the conference final. Twice they've gone to the championship round. Won one, lost one. That's impossible. To be in the playoffs that often and have it work in your benefit, have it work out for you so rarely. The second part is the team that kicked your butt just got their butt kicked. I'm really bummed out, as you could tell, as a Caps fan right now this minute. It feels pretty depressing to me. The fun part, the other play that I can spin, is Ovi-related stuff. Every goal he scores is the new record. He's up at the top of that list. I'm excited to watch that. His farewell tour is awesome. But in terms of team success, hard for me to be excited. Tag, you're it.
Yeah, so a couple of things. Off your first point, historically, they have. Everything you said is correct. They've struggled in the playoffs. Historically, that's definitely a thing. But I think if you look, zoom in more on what they are now, they weren't expected to be where they were this season. And I'm not going to pull the, oh, well, it's exciting, and they weren't supposed to be anywhere. Number one seed is fine. I get it's disappointing to watch where how they bowed out against Carolina, and they were thoroughly dominated throughout the entire series. Even if the scores weren't always lopsided, just watching the games, it felt lopsided. Losing game one, it was a worse than a 2-1 scoreline in overtime. But regardless, you look at the growth from year one to year two under Coach Carbs. You look at the growth of a Connor McMichael. You look at the acquisition of a Jacob Chychrun. You look at some of those things. It gives you hope that maybe this time is different. At the same point, Danny, it's been 50 years of feeling like, okay, maybe this time is different. Maybe this time is different. And truly only one time has been different in 2018, right? So I can understand that maybe this is the same folly and insanity doing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're trying to zoom in more so on what they're specifically doing, then maybe you feel like, okay, they're going in the right direction and we'll see where they can do next season if they can take the same sort of step that they took from year one to year two of Carbs. Can they do the same thing of year two to year three? To your point about Carolina just looking thoroughly outclassed against Florida, that's where it gets interesting because we talk all the time about styles make fights.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was pretty clear, Washington against Carolina, the style for Carolina was too much for Washington, because if there was something that Washington, watching them throughout the season, especially when they were struggling during the Ovi goals chase to actually win hockey games, it was they struggled so badly to clear their own zone so many times. And you're playing against a team that just wants to live there and shoot every puck at the net. And I think you saw what happened there, where a team struggles against a team's strengths, and you end up with a really, really bad matchup. And in turn, Carolina dominates that series. The difference for me is Carolina looked outclassed against Florida.
Like, completely.
Yeah. And so that's where I think it's interesting, where, to me, the series against Carolina is, okay, that's a style thing. Maybe you could say the Capitals were outclassed to an extent, but I think you make a couple of adjustments in terms of this offseason, make a few key acquisitions, change a few things, maybe change a little bit of your philosophy, shift up the lines a little bit. Maybe it goes a little bit differently for you next year if you end up in the same spot against Carolina. I'm interested if they would have matched up against Florida, would they have been thoroughly outclassed? Because to your point, if you're a Caps fan, you were in the Final Eight. Awesome. And you had a team that you thought was better than you go in and, all right, they beat us. You tip the cap. It sucks that it's Carolina, but you tip the cap. And then they just get completely mollywopped in the conference finals. So it makes you feel like, well, we were the top seed in the Eastern Conference. We got beat by a better team. And then that team just got demolished. So maybe we aren't that good. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's my takeaway. I think the style was wrong against Carolina. And I think Florida is just so far and above everybody else right now in the Eastern Conference in terms of that. So they're still in that same tier to Carolina to me. Maybe they would have had a little bit better. Maybe it would have been the same against Florida. But I don't feel worse having seen Carolina just get destroyed by Florida.
800-636-1067. So this is kind of two-pronged for me. I'm going to spin a couple plates here with you guys. Number one, Carolina, who kicked the Caps' butt, got their butt kicked. I don't feel better today as a Caps fan. Again, fan-wise, I love when Carolina loses. That's great. I hope they lose every game for the rest of time and Rod Brind'Amour gets fired. In terms of that, I feel a lot worse. A series where Washington really wasn't that competitive, and everybody wants to tell me, well, look at the quality shot. I never want to hear about quality shots again. It's the same thing, and it's the same thing I feel about the heavy game. The word heavy game means you lose to me. I don't want to hear about quality shots because Carolina didn't score on quality shots. They scored on flicking the puck at the net, yep. And Washington couldn't score. So I don't care. I care about the results. The results were you couldn't get out of your zone. The results were you couldn't get offensive zone draws. You put no pressure on them. That's what I want. I don't care about the million shot attempts. I care about not letting the other team breathe, and the other team could breathe just fine against Washington, despite all the ideas that they'd be so heavy that everyone would get tired. Teams played well against them in the third period. Even Montreal in the first round played just fine in the third period. In fact, dominating third periods, Washington was hanging on for dear life. Mm-hmm. What was supposed to happen, I was told, was they check so much that everybody starts to get tired. They play worse. Wrong. That's not what happened. Again, Washington won in that first round. I'm aware of that. To me, I feel worse as a Caps fan. So that's part one. Do you feel worse? 800-636-1067. Part two, I kind of got this. It sounds like I'm being depressed and whiny about it. And maybe you can accuse me of that. That's fine. But I'm kind of going, hard for me to be optimistic or excited about this regular season, about kind of the next steps coming up. I got data points here. I got a bunch of teams that have had way more success in a small amount of time than 50 years of the Washington Capitals. I'm kind of bummed about it. I'm kind of down about that. 800-6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
About 40-some minutes left with me, Danny Ruye, and Toby, who's over there on the fence. Grant and Danny, welcome back to the program. Stumbled into a Caps conversation I wanted to have after Carolina got eliminated last night in Florida. Whatever they wanted it, by far and away the better team. The same should have been said for Carolina against Washington. I know the scores weren't 10-0 blowouts every time. I mean, a couple of the games that got away, I think it was empty nets here and there. But if you saw, you know, Washington couldn't manage a loud clap, could barely get the puck out of their zone for minutes and periods at a time. It seemed like Carolina, by far and away, the better team. And then they just got boat raced themselves by someone that's going to the third straight Stanley Cup final, more than the Capitals have been to in their entire existence. And I'm pretty down about it. Wonder where you guys are at. 800-636-1067. Jamie, Annandale, what's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Danny.
How you doing, bud?
Good. I mean, I don't feel any different today than I did at Game 5 when the Caps lost. Carolina had a system that we just could not play well against. I know we did in the regular season. I know we played okay against them, but playoffs are a different animal. You need your all four lines have to be going, and we didn't have our four lines going. They had opportunities when they would pressure us. We turned the puck over way too much and gave them opportunities, and that was that. And I know this is an unpopular thing that Caps fans are going to not want to hear, but we weren't going to beat Florida. That team is a machine, and they're probably going to win the cup again. But it's really hard to play against a team like Florida and Carolina, which we're going to have to play against if we're going to make it past the second round coming in the future years. But I think Carbs has got us on the right direction. They might need to revamp the roster again a little bit next season. Probably going to lose some guys and maybe bring in some guys that are more skilled than the ones that we had that didn't perform.
Jamie, thank you, buddy. Really great phone call. Appreciate it. A lot of guys on hold. That's why I'm moving on.
Yeah, and I think there's no question they have to revamp the roster. There's just not enough speed and skill from some of the other guys. And unfortunately, some older players maybe need to be moved on from, but they have to make some adjustments for next season.
Let's go to Rich in Richmond. What's up, buddy? You're on the Fan.
Hey, great show. Great show. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you.
Before I move on to the Capitals, let's hold on a second. Winnipeg fans got to be disappointed, too. They had like a 90-point goal differential.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, in your opinion, what do we need to do? Do we need to I understand better skill players, but does guys like Lars Eller and Ovechkin need to retire? Do we need a better goalie, a better defense? I don't think it's the coach, but do we need another coach?
You want to know what they need?
Hear your opinion.
Yeah, Rich, thank you. Appreciate it. Now, full admission, I never played hockey. So I don't know it as well as I know the other sports. Here's what I know. Here's my perspective. I'm going to get yours, Tobes. As a Capitals fan, because that's what I watch, I know what terrifies me. And I want to do that to people. I'm like Batman without the charisma, the money, the utility belt, Alfred, the Batmobile, the Batwing, any of the gadgets, and the courage.
Okay. So like him.
I want to take the thing that makes me so afraid I can barely watch the game and do that to other people. That means I want more Beauvilliers. I want more of guys in the regular season that frankly aren't going to do all that much, right? The thing that we light the lamp a whole bunch. We'll go find another skill guy, another this, another that. And nothing wrong with a Dylan Strome. And nothing wrong with a Connor McMichael. I like those guys. These are good players. And you need some of them. I want more of that constant, no space giving harassment and haranguing of opposing players where they can't get it out of their own zone. I want the goalie to be able to take a nap. I want Thompson to sit there and go, I don't have to do anything for minutes upon minutes upon minutes at a time. Because that's what's been done to me. That's the thing that strikes fear in my heart. I want that. So I don't really need another 70-point guy. I'm not that excited about another skill guy. That, I think, lights the lamp with the regular season, another 105-point year to lose in the first or second round. I don't care about that. I want to take everything away from the opponent. I want the puck to stay in their end. That, to me, means speed, quickness, relentlessness that you can't do for 82 games. That's exhausting. Playing back-to-backs, traveling across the country, traveling across North America. Too hard to do. That's why these teams don't do it. But playoff time, where you get a day off between everyone, and you could put that grind on, that's what I want.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I don't watch a lot of hockey outside of the Capitals, but when I do turn on other teams just to see what's going on sometimes, just to have some background noise or whatever, when you watch some of these other teams, the speed with which they play is much faster than the Capitals. So I think they need some speed, on the offensive side. And, you know, coaching, I think, is fine. I think Coach Carbs, you saw year one, year two, he grew. I think goaltending, what you need is you need Logan Thompson from pre-Four Nations, not post-Four Nations. And specifically, game five against the Hurricanes, Logan Thompson was not very good. So you need better goaltending in terms of he just has to play better. I don't think it's a different guy. So I think they have a lot of pieces in place. But if you can make some strategic moves, like look at the difference Chychrun made in 1 year here. If you can make some more strategic moves where you can find some guys that can fit, because now you have to build to be able to beat a Carolina, beat a Florida, because you've shown that you can be really, really good. Whatever that is, I'm no expert in building a roster in hockey, but whatever that is, they need to make some adjustments there.
Let's stay with this. People are buzzing the phones about it. 800-636-1067. One more segment from Toby and I. We got a Nats lineup for you. We'll get to you. But I kind of stumbled onto this. I am so bummed after the team that crushed the Capitals got crushed. And I had to look back at the history, and it's just so disappointing. The Capitals in the postseason. Regular seasons, you're damn right, they've been great. The postseason, nobody remembers who the President's Trophy was 5 years ago. But we remember that the Capitals have not had the postseason success to match the regular season success, and it's not even close. So pretty down about it. Wondering where you guys are at. 800-636-1067.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.